You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Stokes flashes it away through the covers for four, and England have won the match.
Hello, welcome to the Analyst Inside Cricket. The final day of the first test is done. And I suppose, actually, Simon, you know, that lots of sort of positive noises coming out of England after the draw, but, you know, a sort of winning draw from England's point of view. I see it as the bleeding, at least, has been stopped.
Yeah. Joe Root called it a huge step forward. I wouldn't say it was a huge step forward, would you? I mean, a draw against the eighth-ranked side in the ICC Test Match rankings. But England played pretty well, didn't they, in the last couple of days, especially on the fourth day, because that was a crucial day, because they could have fallen in the heap, lost the game. But they actually batted really well, that fine partnership between Crawley and Joe Root. Root's 24th Test 100, moves ahead of everybody else now, apart from Alistair Cook, quality player. Yeah, England did okay in this game. They've been really poor for a long time. I definitely wouldn't say it was a huge step forward, though. The pitch was the winner. It was docile. And neither side in the end could sort of tame it, really, or rouse it, I suppose, is the way to look at it. Am I being a bit harsh? I just think you can't lose for a year and then draw in the West Indies and say that's a huge step forward. I think there were encouraging signs for England in this game. But there's a heck of a long way to go before you can say, you know, I don't know, things have changed dramatically.
Yeah, I agree. You know, it's a bottom of the table clash, isn't it?
Well, mid-table against
the two
bottom
teams,
of the table.
Well, you say mid-table, but if it's the World Test Championship, it's bottom of the table clash. Mm. If it's the ICC rankings, it's fourth against eighth. So neither side covering themselves in glory over the last few years. And I guess, you know, the positive step for England is two scores of over 300, which they've been battling to achieve. I think it's the first time for 14 innings they've made that score, and they did it twice, and one time that was a declared score. So the batting has certainly shown it's got the ability to score decent runs, but you've got to measure that against who they were facing and the pitch as well, which, as you say, was extremely docile. I mean, what I think we've seen is a change in attitude. Actually, I was thinking back to on the fifth day of the match against New Zealand at Lord's last summer, when England steadfastly refused to chase a relatively inviting target that Kane Williamson set round about the 250 sort of mark, and they just blocked out and made no attempt. And then obviously New Zealand won the next test, so won the series. And that aroused a lot of criticism from England supporters and viewers and so on, that England's tactics attitude was negative. And I thought their attitude on the fifth day in Antigua was really positive. It was enterprising. You know, they came out positively. Dan Lawrence, really excellent little cameo innings, 30-odd, not out, 38. But, you know, he really got the initiative going, which Root had sort of started, and obviously Crawley before, and they set him, set them a target. I think they probably, maybe they batted on a tiny bit too long, but the idea was to get as many runs as possible, get up to five or six and over, take a few risks, throw caution to the wind almost. And that we haven't seen that really much from them. They've been so much under the cosh over the last 6 months that we just haven't seen that attitude. So I thought that was quite refreshing.
Yeah, really. It was a good positive declaration, I think. I think it surprised a few people, actually. Okay, you can think about the time in which they made the declaration, 20 minutes before lunch, so they could have a little go at West Indies before the break. But it was 286 in a minimum of 70 overs. So, you know, they gave themselves a bit of time. You were thinking the other night it might be sort of 55, 60 overs that they would have to bowl at West Indies, which on that pitch, you know, never felt as it was going to be enough. I mean, you probably needed, 70 overs, you might have needed 140 overs, 110, 120 overs to bowl a side out. At times, it was a bit like watching cheese go mouldy, wasn't it, that test match? It was hard work, I think, for everyone involved. Not least the umpires, who had another sort of tricky day. There was a big moment, actually, on the last day when Jason Holder was given not out with just over 20 overs to go. And England only had one review left. And they thought, is this going to be missing leg stump? And as it turned out, it was hitting leg stump very firmly. And if they'd gone for the review, Holder would have been out. And, you know, 5 wickets to get in the last 20 overs, it might have been different. But actually, the way Holder and Bonner blocked out for a draw after West Indies lost that fourth wicket with Blackwood's extravagant shot suggested that probably the lower order would have been good enough to resist. It just wasn't quite enough in the pitch. Dig it up, I say. Dig it up and replace it with something a bit quicker. You know, do something.
Well, and the ground. Move the ground somewhere else as well. And put some more interesting stands in. Just change the whole thing. Yeah. Go back to the old ground. I don't know what's happened to the old ground. It's probably just played for used for club cricket.
Well, I think they use it for football, don't they? I think they use it for football.
Probably, yeah, maybe. Talking of cheese, though, and mould, are you the kind of person who cuts the mould off the cheese, or do you chuck it away?
Waste not, want not, Yoz. Waste not, want not. You obviously.
I thought you might be one of those.
Well, you obviously grew up in a sort of solidly middle class house where
food
was bountiful. Listen,
I come from an acting family where, you know, we got was the free cornflakes because my dad was on the cornflakes ads. So it was cornflakes for, you know, breakfast, lunch and dinner. That's all right, actually. You can do interesting things with cornflakes, though. You can put them in brownies and add sort of fruit to them and stuff. So, you know, keep it interesting. No, I'm a cut the mould off the cheese person as well. I'm afraid I'm even a cut the mould off the sausages person, actually.
Yeah, well,
and my kids are very annoyed about that because they think that's silly risk. But I sort of think, and this is hospital talk, I'm touching wood, but I sort of think almost if you put a little bit of a muck in your body, then that increases your resilience and increases your immunity as well. I haven't had COVID yet, you know. I mean, I'm sort of chancing my luck here, kind of talking like that, aren't I? But there we are.
Anyway, well, there was plenty of mould to cut off the cheese in this game, I think, by the end of it. It was a bit like that. We digress. I mean, because it was that sort of test match, wasn't it, really? You know, there were lots of longers, there were lots of sort of caveats and disappearing down long corridors, you have to come back again. It's the sort of pitch that's just not really that good for test match cricket. You just want a bit more pace in it, I think. There were 419 overs in the game. Test match normally lasts for 450 overs, so there was a little bit of time lost. But you normally lose some time anyway because teams can't bother overs and also because of the change of innings. So it pretty much was a full game of test cricket. We had 30 wickets in 5 days, and some of those wickets were tossed away as well as England were going for quick runs on for the declaration. So, you know, there were, in terms of sort of players got out, that figure was much lower than 30. And of course, there were some. You know, England took 4 wickets on the final day, but there were two horrendous shots, weren't there? John Campbell having a swipe. I suppose you could say, well, that's the way Campbell plays. He likes to get on with it, and sometimes you hit over the top, it's going to work, and sometimes it's not. Then Jermaine Blackwood played an extravagant shot as well, a huge wipe against Leach, and he was LBW. I suppose that's the way Blackwood plays as well. You know, he is tempted to play in that way. But, you know, there weren't. In terms of batsmen got out during the game, it was sort of relatively low number to the number you need to get a positive result if you're going to bowl a side out in the fourth innings. If you look at the two sides as well, Jules, I was just looking in terms of the quality. We mentioned the quality of the two sides at the start. I was looking at the ICC rankings, and you know, how many players are in the top 10 or top 20 of the ICC rankings in the two sides. And by my reckoning, Blackwood at 34 is the top West Indies player in the rankings. Joe Root obviously is there. But there aren't that many England players in there as well. In terms of the bowling, Anderson is in at 7, but he's not playing. I think the highest ranked England bowler in the rankings is Wokes at 29. Jason Holder, of course, is the second best all-round in the world, and Stokes is in the top 5 in the all-rounder rankings. But, you know, so basically what you're looking at in terms of the two sides, they are emerging, developing, a bit vulnerable teams, really. There isn't stacks and stacks of quality. You hope that, you know, both sides hope they develop over time. But so that's what we're looking at in terms of the quality of the two sides. It's a bit like two bald men, i.e. us, fighting over the hair straighteners, isn't it, this series a bit? But, you know, you can only win or try to win what's in front of you.
It's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
It's only a kick, a jump, a block, it's only a serve, it's only a tackle, a run, it's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
I think what we can say, though, Yoz, in terms of, you know, looking at the two sides, England more positive in this game than West Indies. England scored their runs at 3.5 runs per over. West Indies at 2.29. West Indies quite attritional, really sort of digging in, maybe to do with the fact that they batted second and fourth. That might have something to do with it. But that, you know, there was a positivity about England. So can they take that forward? One issue for them looks to me to be the fact that, is Mark Wood going to be able to play? We don't, as we record this on Sunday morning, we don't know the situation with Mark Wood, but you think it's unlikely he's going to play in the rest of the series. They're talking about extreme pain in that elbow injury, so they're going to have to look elsewhere, certainly for their bowling attack. Should they revamp their bowling attack, or do you say okay, go again Overton and go again Chris Wokes?
I think I'd be inclined to give Matt Fisher a go. I mean, I don't know how he's been going in practice, but if he's on the tour, why not give him a go? Craig Overton hasn't done anything to, you know, pull up any trees. Chris Wokes was steady, but not spectacular. I guess I'd keep Wokes because obviously he's valuable with the bat as well. I might look to replace Overton perhaps with Matt Fisher. But they do need pace.
Is that harsh on this surface, though?
It is harsh. It is a bit harsh, but they've got to find out about these guys, haven't they? I mean, why not? If they don't give him a game the second test, they should give him a game in the third test. Otherwise, I don't see the point of them being there, really. They've got to see how they are, how they go over 5 days, and whether they can adapt their game to the pitch changing and so on and different conditions. And you don't really find that out in the Nets. I know it's England's policy to have players, fringe players or emerging players around the team to see the culture of Test cricket and so on, and the kind of approaches that players, individual players, use for preparation, and they can learn from that, obviously. But in the end, the most you can learn about players is by actually, you know, putting them on the field. Yeah, I think England's positivity generally came out of that game well. I detect a little air of Paul Collingwood about that, you know, just being a bit more enterprising than they have been latterly, certainly last year. I think the West Indies have got to up their game a bit, because, I mean, maybe they see someone like Bonner as the anchor and the other guys kind of playing around him, because there are some more flamboyant players in that lineup, and perhaps that's the policy there. But even Bonner can really improve. He's not, you know, someone like Johnny Bairstow, you watch him bat. I mean, he's fantastic the way he gets the most out of his ability and his energy and his zest. And, you know, that sort of bristling aggression that he has puts the bowlers off, undoubtedly. So in a way, that's something that's England have sort of discovered almost by default or by accident, is Bairstow's impact. It's not just his ability, it's that sort of buzzing energy and bristling intent and purpose that he brings to the team, which I'm sure would have helped, you know, just motivate them a bit more and energise them a bit more in this game.
You can't be something you're not, though, can you? I mean, Nkrumah Bonner can't be a Johnny Bairstow. OK, you can probably be a bit more positive running between the wickets. And Bonner in this game batted 493 balls, made 38 not out and 123, and he was the player of the match. He was the one that resisted England yesterday. He was the one that gave his side a chance in the game. Certainly, well, possibly winning it at one stage, it looked. It could put some pressure on England in the third innings. Certainly of elongating it and therefore helping his team save it, ultimately. You can't be a player you're not. I mean, Geoffrey Boycott can't be a Viv Richards. I mean, they're to go back to cheese, they are chalk and cheese, aren't they, really? Those two sort of moulds of players.
Yeah, I know, but you can take the edge off something. You can just add little areas of improvement, can't you, all the time? And you can't sit still, can you, in Test cricket? You've got to keep trying to develop. No. Great to see Zach Crawley, by the way, come through the sort of difficulties of early parts of the innings and opening the batting, making 100. So that's another thing that England can be positive about. And, you know, looking ahead to Barbados, there will be a bit more life in that pitch, actually. There's a bit more bounce there, generally, unless they've used the same groundsman's tactics as in Antigua. I think we'll see a slightly more spirited match. And, of course, we'll get 10,000 English fans there as well, so it'll probably be like a home game for England.
Yeah, you wonder, you know, with Mark Wood in the England lineup, I wonder whether the pitch, you don't know, do you? Whether the pitch was made to order or whether that is just what it's like. I mean, if you look back at previous Antigua pitches, actually, I think that's just what the surface is like in Antigua. Last year, two draws against Sri Lanka, West Indies, you know, early wickets, and the game sort of petered out into a draw. Sri Lanka were able to bat 150 overs to save the game in one of the matches. So I don't think necessarily it was particularly there made to stymie Mark Wood. But of course, next game doesn't look as if Wood's going to be in the lineup. West Indies got a bit of pace. You know, they've got a bit of pace in their attack as well. So you know, why not play on a pitch that has got a bit of something in it for the pace bowlers. I remember the third test is in Grenada. The last time I went to Grenada was for that amazing one day international where it was something like, I'd have to check the scores, but it was something like England 400, West Indies 380. I mean, it was an incredible day of hitting. So it could be that bowlers are in for a tough time in Grenada as well. Obviously, it depends what sort of surface they come up with there. But yeah, but let's hope for a bit more pizzazz in that pitch in Barbados. One thing we haven't talked about, Yoz, very much, we touched on it at the start. Joe Root, 24 Test match hundreds, just keeps churning them out, up at number three. A really efficient, classy innings from Joe Root. In a pressure situation as well, because when he came in, when Alex Lees was out, he thought, well, some people would have thought, here we go again, England behind on first innings, the old collapse coming in, and West Indies knock him off.
Yeah, fantastic. There's nothing more to say about Joe Root, is there? He just reels them off, and he's just flawless. There's no obvious weakness. I think
except the one Australia found around about off stump.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't even think that is a weakness, actually. I think it's just he just gets out like that sometimes. I'm not really sure that is an actual weakness. You know, he's so accomplished, and I think he's a wonderful player. He's great to watch as well, isn't he? Whereas, you know, Alistair Cook, for all his incredible productivity, wasn't always that riveting to watch. But Root is just someone who is busy, he's fluent, he's stylish, he's deft, he's got a shot for every type of bowler. You know, he can work the ball around, he can rotate the strike, he runs other people's runs, he's incredibly unselfish. You know, he gave his wicket up in the end, didn't he? Taking a risk, going right across his stumps, trying to pick one up over mid-wicket. He's a flawless player, really.
Yeah, he's a high-class act. Someone who had a poor time in Australia really struggled, and Australia put him under the pump straight away. As soon as he came on to bowl was Jack Leach. Now, in this game, he bowled 73.1 overs and took 5 for 136. 43 overs in the first innings gave England some control. And in the second innings, a bit of threat there as well. And with a bit more luck, he actually could have taken a few more wickets in that second innings. Well, he had Holder out. It was given not out, and England didn't review it because they only had one review left. They didn't want to gamble with one review. And there are some umpires' calls in there as well. It does show, doesn't it, that Australia's approach really worked. They sort of gambled. They took him down early, and it just disrupted England completely. It was here he was sort of allowed to bowl a bit more, and there were times. I mean, I mentioned it earlier in the Test match when he bowled those seven maidens. He actually sort of landed every single ball just about in the right place, almost like watching Monty bowl. You could say, well, you need a bit more variation, but. What he didn't have in Australia, it seemed to me, was any real control at all. But he found control here.
Yeah, and he hadn't bowled much before in Australia, had he? He hadn't bowled much all summer, really.
No.
So it was unfair to sort of expect him to do much in Australia. And their tactics were pretty savage. So he's been allowed to bowl here more. And he's found some rhythm and some confidence. I'd just like to see a bit more art, I think. You know, a bit more tantalising, teasing. Give the old one a bit more air. I quite enjoyed, actually, watching Craig Brathwaite bowl. I know it's the slowest bowling probably ever seen on a test field. Well, certainly since about W.G. Grace's era, say. He was bowling at 40 miles an hour, wasn't he? 60 kilometres an hour sometimes. Loopy, off-spin, sort of drifting away from the right-handers from round the wicket. And they were terrified to have a go at him, unless it was short. They were kind of almost marooned to the crease because it was so slow. You got about three shots in your mind before the ball arrives. And I'm not saying Jack Leach would bowl that slow, but I just want the odd one thrown up in the air a bit more if they're blocking, or you know, go slightly closer to the stumps, go slightly wider of the crease, bowl a 23 yarder, something, just anything, just when they're not breaking through, rather than that slightly monotonous ball after ball from the same place on roughly the same spot. That's admirable, but I think he could do a bit more. You know, just perhaps he needs to look at some videos of spinners from the past or something and see how they actually manipulate their wicket. A Bishan Bedi would be great. You know, I don't suppose there is any archive of Bishan Bedi going through his repertoire, but he was someone, for instance, who would India, Bishan Bedi, this is from the 70s and 80s, for those who can't think back that far or don't know that back that far. And he was an absolute master of flight and guile, F and G, we call it. And just like a little bit wider of the crease, a little bit closer to the stump, a little bit further back in the crease, a little bit higher, a little bit flatter. Just another one would be Rangana Harath, again, who was quite good at that. And I think Jack Leach has done a bit of work with him in the past when they were in Sri Lanka. So it's just bringing in those little ingredients to just add to his control.
Yeah, Bishan is the sort of bowler. I mean, I've actually watched a bit of Bishan Bedi on YouTube actually not so long ago. He's the sort of bowler that if he bowled like he does in a test match, of course he probably wouldn't, in a T20 game, he might go for 80 in his four overs because he would toss it. And some would just absolutely larrap him. He might get 3 for 80 or 5 for 60 or something like that, you know, with 3 caught on the boundary. There's one more talking point which I want to sort of bring to your attention, Yoz, before we say goodbye. Carlos's comments in the BT studio about England disrespecting West Indies by going to within 5 balls of the finish of the game. So, England had 6 wickets to take and they bowled 1 ball of the final over of the match because, in theory, you could take 6 in 6. It is sort of pushing it right to the end. And we have seen test matches in the past where teams after about, with 5 overs to go or whatever, just shake hands and say, I don't think we can win this. You know, you're only 4 down. You two have batted for ages and ages, which they did, didn't they? Bonner and Holder. Is that disrespect from England? Carlos was saying, would they have done it against India? Would they have done it in an Ashes test match?
I think it's a bit harsh from Carlos. I think England are perfectly entitled to take it to the last over. You never know, do you? They're not exactly the strongest lower order. The old ball was keeping low. England were pretty tired, has to say. I mean, if they had a Mark Wood charging in with the potential to keep a, get a couple going underground in the last couple of overs, maybe they'd have a bit more optimism of winning. But I don't. You know, when you're trying to, going back to the, that horrible word reset, when you're trying to rebuild and reconstruct the team and its attitude, going all out for a win is the right way to go, and committed to that, because you just never know, do you? And I think it's one of those, you're damned if you do and you're damned if you don't. It was perfectly reasonable to give it a go towards the end. I think if it was the third test of the series and it was 0-0 going into that last five overs, you might shake hands, because you've had 15 days of battle and, you know, kind of each team's nullified the other. And so that would be more reasonable, because it shows good spirit and thank you for the tussle, but we'll call it quits or something.
Yeah, I mean, I must say, as I was watching those closing overs, I was thinking, I wonder if the captains are going to shake hands. But I expected England to go, you know, until it was impossible to win the game. And if West Indies had done the same, I don't think I would have thought that was disrespectful. I would have just thought they're just making absolutely sure that they can't win the game. You know, to take every single ball possible to try and win the match. Okay, it's unlikely. But then, you know, it was unlikely that England were going to win the game from 10 overs out or 15 overs out. And sometimes captains can shake hands as you go into the last hour. You wouldn't shake hands if you're 4 wickets down going into the last hour. You'd give it a bit longer than that. I sort of see Carlos's point in one sense, because it probably felt like there was no way England could win the game. But I don't have a big issue with it, and I wouldn't have had a big issue with it if West Indies had done it to England or Australia had done it to England or whatever. You know, you just go the full distance. It probably is a mindset thing as well, isn't it? Like, we are not going to give an inch here, and perhaps that's just part of England's mentality. We're going to give ourselves every single chance to win the game. Okay, if it means we've got to take 6 in 6 or try to take 6 in 6, so be it. You know, cricket is often about hope versus reality, isn't it? You know, you hope to win, you hope to push. You know what it's like on the last day of a match. You know, I expect you've played in lots of games where they're finished in draws, but you keep pushing, don't you? Keep pushing, you keep hoping that something's going to happen. I bet you've played in the odd game as well, where you've won at the end when you didn't really expect to, when you took, I don't know, 6 wickets in the last 10 overs or something like that, especially with that strong Middlesex side that you had when you were playing in the 80s.
I mean, actually, funnily enough, it goes back to a long way back to 1968, where the Oval, where, if you remember, well, you probably don't remember, actually, because you're too young, it rained heavily on the final day and everybody gave up any hope of playing. And then the rain stopped at sort of 4 o'clock, and the ground staff roped in members of the crowd who'd stayed in the Oval, sort of huddled under the awnings, to come and help dry it up. And so they used mops and blankets and towels and everything and dried up the outfield for about 45 minutes possible play. And Derek Underwood bowled Australia out and England levelled the series. Some great scenes actually there, with 9 men round the bat and Underwood wheeling away, trapping John Inverera to LBW with about 5 minutes to go. It didn't regain England the Ashes because it was a drawn series and Australia held them, but still, it was an exciting end. So, well, that's 50-odd years ago. It still is worth trying to force victory until the last moment, because you just never know, do you? And you never know what the West Indies are going to do. Do you remember that game they lost when Shannon Gabriel had a big heave, and when they were blocking out, and that classic line from our friend Fazi Mohammed, "Why did he do that?" That was brilliant. Well, this time the West Indies showed a bit more resolution and resilience, didn't they?
Yeah, a lot more resolution. And we said at the start of the series, we thought it was going to be attritional, we thought it was going to be quite tight. I think you made an interesting point at the start. If this were a club match, it would be a winning draw for England. But that's sort of pushing it a little bit. England had the better of a draw, didn't they, really? But West Indies battled out, and they showed a great deal of resilience. And I imagine they'll continue to do so in the rest of these two matches, Barbados and Grenada.
And so, I'm sure the travelling masses of Barmy Army fans will be hoping for a little bit more entertainment in the Barbados test, which starts on Wednesday, and we'll be bringing you the review of each day's play from that test match. Meanwhile, I should just remind you, Stephen Fry's appearance on Tuesday night in the Virtual Cricket Club, 7:30 p.m. Stephen Fry, all the way from LA, talking about his love of cricket and his desire to have been a cricketer when he was young, which probably was just as well he didn't follow that through, because he's given us hours and years of entertainment on the screen instead. And he's going to be doing that hopefully on Tuesday night. You can join us by going to worldsbestcricketclub.com.
So Stephen Fry on Tuesday, and then the second test match, West Indies against England, Barbados from Wednesday. And as Yoz says, we'll be back to review each day's play after it has happened. That's it then. A slightly disappointing draw in terms of the pitch and the sort of slowness of the play from Antigua, but some positives for England and for the West Indies as well. Goodbye for now.
Podcast Network.